Nehemiah in chapter number 2. And we are grateful that Pastor is getting an opportunity to get away and get a little bit of rest and celebrate his anniversary with his wife. And we are thankful for the wonderful start indeed that God has given to us here to 2015 at Lancaster Baptist. And we want to thank you for being in attendance today and maybe getting a little wet on your way in, but we're excited you're here. We're looking forward to a great time together this morning around God's Word and anticipating what God will do in our midst. Nehemiah chapter number 2, and let's look together this morning at verse number 17. The Bible says, "Then said I unto them, You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. As they said, Let us rise up and build, so they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." I love the story of Nehemiah. I love the rebuilding of the temple and the walls. And as we come to this portion of Scripture to give a little context, we come to a time in the life of Nehemiah where just prior to this, he was serving as the cupbearer to the powerful Persian king Artaxerxes. And he was brought a report about his homeland. And he was told about how the walls lieth in waste, and the gates are consumed with fire, and the city is despised, and it lieth in reproach, and it's not good, and we need help. At this time in the history of God's people, the captivity is over, and post-exile, people had begun to make their way back to the homeland. First of all, it was Zerubbabel with Joshua, later followed by Ezra the priest. And now we read of the time where Nehemiah goes back to his homeland and begins to survey the state in which it is in. Nehemiah went with the permission and the blessing of the king. He traveled over 1,000 miles from Babylon to Jerusalem to go and to survey and to be a help and to particularly rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And we have this morning a picture of the wall as it stands now. This is believed to age back all the way to the walls that Nehemiah rebuilt. And then a replica of what the project would have looked like. The walls all the way around the city of Jerusalem. And indeed, what a daunting task it was. This was foretold to us in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25, where the Bible says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times." And no doubt, as Nehemiah came and surveyed the terrible state that the city was in, the need to rebuild the walls, the task was daunting. And the verses that we just read is his gathering of the people and talking with them about what they might do about it. I don't know about you, I loved last Sunday. It was such a joy to be in attendance the first Sunday of the year and to have our pastor stand and preach from the Word of God and unveil to us our theme for 2015. And to challenge us to join arms in arms with the Lord Jesus Christ and His work of building His church. And then last Sunday night, as we came for Vision Night and the sevenfold plan was unfolded to us, and we began to understand some of the vision and goals and what might God do through our church family this year. And it was exciting indeed. And it's my prayer this morning that through the message and our time in God's Word, that we will, as these people respond to the vision that God has given us for 2015. Just as these people responded to the vision that Nehemiah was giving him, may we respond with great faith to the vision that God has provided for us here at Lancaster Baptist Church in this day. And with that thought in mind, look at verse number 18. Towards the latter part of the verse, it says, "And they said," this was their response to Nehemiah, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for this good work. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Strengthening strengthening our hands for this good work. Nehemiah comes back and he surveys the land and he spends time in prayer. Much of what he did was at night and was in the privacy of just a few folks with him. And he was kind of preparing his own heart for what God would do and making sure that this was the Lord's doing. And then now we read as he comes to the people and he calls a meeting and he begins to unveil to them what God had been doing in his heart. And as we study this morning, I want us first of all to see the reason for construction. Nehemiah, as he begins to give a plea to the people to be involved, he begins to paint a picture as to why they should be involved, the reason that they need to get behind this vision and to see these walls rebuilt. And he gives them three reasons for why these walls need to be rebuilt in this time of their history. First of all, I see the distress of the city. Look at verse number 17. He says, "Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." Nehemiah said, listen, we need to get these walls rebuilt. One of the reasons we need to is because of this distress of the city. It's not good. It's in distress. It's a reproach to the name of the Lord. And you know, sometimes when we're in the midst of something, we don't see it the same way that somebody sees it who's seeing it for the first time. Much like the revival reading that Brother Furso gave this morning. In our own lives, at times, we give ourselves a pass. We judge others on their actions, but we judge ourselves and our motives because we know what we meant to do. And we can tell you, well, everybody else in church needs revival, but oftentimes we struggle to really come to grips with the fact that we need revival on our own. And Nehemiah was compelling the people, you need to rally and get these walls built because the city is in distress. It's a reproach. It's in need of help. Now, they had been living in the city. It was their city. It was their walls that were broken down. It was their city without protection. It wasn't Nehemiah's a few days ago. He was living in a palace with the king. But Nehemiah came and saw something that they maybe had forgotten or that maybe they had overlooked or that maybe they felt just could not be done. And he rallies them to get these walls built because of the distress of the city. And it was particularly dishonoring because these people were God's people. And so the distress in their life was a mark on the name of the Lord. And by the way, if we're believers this morning and we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, we are the ambassadors of Christ. And when there are things in our life that should not be there, it's not just a mark on our testimony, it's a mark on our Heavenly Father. It's a mark on our name of our Savior. It's a mark on Jesus Christ himself. And so Nehemiah is encouraging these people that, listen, the city is in distress. It's a reproach. It's an object of shame. And we need to fix it. The Bible says in Psalms 44:13, thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. And there's no doubt today that America's in distress. There's no doubt today that America is leaning away from the things of God and His Word. There's no doubt today that we need revival in Lancaster. There's no doubt today that we need the hand of God upon our nation and a people that will turn back to Him. And I think all of us would agree with those things this morning. But then when we make it personal, how are we doing? Is there any distress in our own life? Is there any reproach in the way we live? Sometimes we can't see what's happening in our own life. It's like the young banker who was driving his BMW and he was up in the mountains and he was encountering a terrible snowstorm, and as he rounded the turn, his vehicle slid out of control and toward a cliff, and at the last moment possible, he unbuckled his seatbelt and he opened the door and he jumped from the car and barely saved his life. While he escaped with his life, as he was exiting the car, his left arm was caught near the hinge of the door and was literally severed at the shoulder. A trucker passing by witnessed the terrible action and stopped his rig and ran over to see if he could be of help. And there standing in a state of shock was this young banker at the edge of the cliff, and he was moaning, "Oh, my BMW, my BMW." And the trucker pointed to the banker's arm and said, "Man, you've got bigger problems in your car." With that, the banker looked at his shoulder, finally realizing that he had lost his arm, and he began crying, "Oh, my new Rolex, my new Rolex." You know, sometimes we don't see the problems for what they are. Sometimes we can come to a church as great as Lancaster Baptist Church. We can be a part of a Sunday as great as last Sunday. We can hear the preaching like we heard last Sunday morning from Matthew 6:18 and the vision like last Sunday night. And we can leave and be convinced we don't need to do anything. We can leave and be convinced we don't need a change. We can leave and maybe not see the need of our own heart. And Nehemiah, as he appeals to these people that they would strengthen their hands for this work, he says, listen, look at your city. It's in distress. It's a reproach. It's a shame to God. We need to get these walls built up. And you and I in our own lives need to be very careful about getting used to sin. Because when we get desensitized to sin, it makes us easy victims of sin. And it makes us really struggle to get sin out of our lives. And God challenges you and I to combat that. In Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God challenges you and I in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Wherefore, come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God wants you and I to be His children. God wants everything about our life to tell that story. God wants you and I to be a peculiar people, easily picked out of a crowd, living for Him, striving to honor and please Him in all that we say and do. And at times, we need to strengthen our hands for the work. And Nehemiah is saying, listen, we got to get these walls built. The city is in distress. But the second reason he gives this morning is the dealings of the Lord. Look at verse number 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Now, if you ever want someone in your corner, you want God. If you ever want somebody's hand of approval, you want God. If you ever want somebody's favor in a project, you want God's. And Nehemiah said, listen, we got to get these walls built. Your city's in distress, but we got to get these walls built because God is at work. God is doing something. And boy, when God is at work in a particular circumstance or in a group of people, it should encourage you and I to be a part of the work. Consider this. A few days before this meeting of Nehemiah and the people, he's over 1,000 miles away. He's serving King Artaxerxes. Then he gets a report and his heart is grieved. And the king says to Nehemiah, Nehemiah, you're not like yourself. What's wrong? And Nehemiah says, I'm just so burdened for my homeland. And the king says, well, go do something about it. I'll help you. I'll write the decree. You can send the letters. I'll give you the resources. I'll give you the time. Let's go get the wall built. That was nothing save the hand of God. That was God providentially at work to get these walls rebuilt. And Nehemiah, appealing to these people, says, listen, we got to do this because God is in the midst of it. I'm thankful we're at a church where God works. I'm thankful we get to worship at a place where we often see people walk out accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior, following the Lord in believers' baptism, lives being changed, families being mended, where we get to see buildings built, where we're seeing lives change. It's exciting to be a part of Lancaster Baptist Church. And I believe as we're challenged this year to partner with the Lord and to build, it can be said to you and I at Lancaster Baptist, hey, you got to strengthen your hands for the work. God is working here. You get to co-labor with Him. We've got to get in and get something done for the Lord. As you consider getting involved, consider where you've been. Consider the work that God has done in your life. Remember what it was, life without Christ. Remember the hopelessness. Remember the loneliness. Remember the feeling of complete despair when you would face difficult times without the Lord. But then, somebody introduced you to Jesus. And you recognized that on your own, you had no hope. But that Jesus loved you. And while He did not have to because He lived a perfect life, He gave His life for you when He died on the cross and shed His blood. Not having to, but choosing to provide for you and I redemption. An alternative payment for our sin. And the Bible is clear to us that because of our sin, we deserve death, Romans 6:23. But God in His love gave His Son who gave His life that we might be redeemed. And the day we learned of the gospel, the day we learned of the good news from the Word of God, and we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we could claim the promise of 1 John 5:13, that I may know that I have eternal life, and Jesus began to be a part of our life, and the Spirit of God indwelled us, and now, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new, and God began to change our life, and things began to work. Do you remember that time? Well, remember what God has done in your life. Remember the work that God has accomplished. And God still has a work for you to do. The fact that you and I are sitting here drawing breath this morning means one thing. God has something left for us to do. God has something for us to accomplish. God has purpose for us to live for. And Nehemiah is saying, come on, strengthen your hands for this work. God is at work. In Psalm 40, we're reminded of the Lord as He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Thank the Lord for the redemptive work that He has done in our life. And I encourage you this morning, if you know not where you would spend in eternity, that you would not leave this room without knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven will be your home through Jesus Christ. Nehemiah is saying to these people, we've got to get involved. God is at work. But notice, thirdly, the decree of the king. He says in verse number 18, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. The third reason Nehemiah gives these people is because the king had supported the rebuilding of the walls. Nehemiah is coming with the king's blessing. He's coming with the letters of the king. He's coming with the king's provision and support. He's basically on mission from the king to get this project done. He's saying to the people, the city needs it. God is at work. The king has given us permission. Let's get this done. And I'm so thankful we're in a church where we know our community needs Jesus Christ. And God is already at work. And we too have been given a decree from the King of Kings where He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we know that Jesus Christ desires to build His church. And we know that He's calling you and I this morning to get an arm in arm with Him and to accomplish this work for His honor and His glory. And He challenges you and I in Mark 6:15. And He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God wants Lancaster Baptist Church to be a beacon of hope in our community, to be a lighthouse, to be a refuge where people can come and can learn about Jesus Christ and their lives can be mended and their homes can be put together and Christ can be made preeminent in all that they do and they can know victory through Christ. Nehemiah is saying, we have got to get this project done, and begins to lay out to the people why they should do it. I love this. I see, secondly, the response of the congregation. Look at verse 18. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. What a great response. Nehemiah comes to these people and they had been living there. They knew the walls were not built. They knew it was a reproach. They knew it was the laughing stock. They knew they were vulnerable. They knew this needed to be done. But God brought a leader and the leader articulated the purpose and mission and heart of God and they received it. The response was spot on. They said, this is great. Let's rise up and build. And they strengthened their hands for this good work. I noticed of this response, first of all, that it was essential. It was essential. Their response was essential because Nehemiah could not build the walls by himself. That would have taken a long time. It may have been impossible. I don't know. But it was essential. Nehemiah needed some help. The walls needed to be built, and there was a lot of work to be done. There was a need because of the city and all that Nehemiah had given them to do. And the people responded and said, there's no way he's going to get this done on his own. And he's helping us. Let's join together and let's get this project done. And as we look at America today and the world and Lancaster and Palmdale and the surrounding region and the need of Christ and all the problems that we see every day in our culture and society, there's no doubt we need everybody in this room to work. It's essential. It's not going to get done with just one. It's not going to get done with just a few. It's not going to get done with just a staff or some deacons or some key leaders. It's going to take everybody getting in and building and strengthening their hands for the work. And their response was essential because all of them were needed to get the project done. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. The team makes the dream work. And we're so thankful for the teamwork spirit that we have here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And I want to encourage you this morning, as we have seen the vision of our pastor, as the goals have been foretold, that we this morning would commit commit to God, God, I'm going to be involved. I'm going to be on the team. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to go to work and I'm going to be a part of what you desire to do in our church in this year. It's often so sad how little gets done in the average church because God's people refuse to do the work. It's going to take all of us working. Well, Brother Earl, I just don't know if there's something for me to do. There is. There is. There's something for everybody in this room to do. Do all of your neighbors know the Lord? Do all of your coworkers know the Lord? Does everyone in your family know the Lord? Do you know a hurting person? Do you know anyone in need this morning? Did you cross paths with anybody this week that you felt like could have benefited from a word from the Lord? There's something for all of us to do. And it's essential if we're going to build in 2015 that we all strengthen our hands for the work. The response was essential, but I see letter B that it was encouraging. In verse 18, we read, so they strengthened their hands for this good work. I love the fact that they didn't grumble and complain. And as Nehemiah came to them and presented this project, their spirit was not like, well, Nehemiah, that kind of sounds like it's going to be a lot of work. I mean, you know, I've got my farm to take care of, and we've got our cattle to care after, and we've got, our garden to tend to, and Bobby's got school in the morning, and we got all these responsibilities, and now you want us on top of all that to help you build a wall? That wasn't their response. Their response wasn't grumbling. It wasn't complaining. It wasn't that it couldn't be done. Their response was one of encouragement. They used their voices to encourage one another, to strengthen their hands, and to get involved in the work. And I thank God for that spirit here at Lancaster Baptist. And I pray that it just grows in this new year, that there's a positive peer pressure among everybody in the church family, that all of us would be involved in building for the Lord in 2015. That needs to be our spirit. And we need to encourage ourselves in simple things, like being in church faithfully. God tells you and I in Hebrews, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It was in the life and custom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Luke 4:16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And we need to encourage one another to be in church, and you're in church at 8:30 on a rainy Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. And after this service, everyone in this room should be in adult Bible class. And after that, everybody should be here tonight at 5 o'clock. And after that, everybody should be here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And then we should be a part of winter revival. And every time the doors are open, we should be here. And we should be encouraging one another about these things. And you say, Brother Rule, why do we need to do all that? Because we need it. And I need church. The songs we sang this morning, how wonderful they were to sing. The opportunity to worship in the offering. What a blessing it was to shake hands and to see the people of God. What a joy it is. And then to hear the preaching of the Word of God where we're confronted with our need and the decisions that we must make. We need this. And God tells you and I, not less, but more as you see the days approaching. We need to encourage one another to be here, a three to thrive. And that was our pastor's heart last Sunday as we heard the vision. And we want to rally and say, I'm going to be in my place. I'm going to be encouraging others to be in church. We should encourage one another to share our faith. To share our faith. To be involved in an outreach program. God challenges you and I in Matthew to go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever have commanded you. God tells you and I in Timothy that what we have heard, we are to commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And we want to encourage one another to share our faith. Right now, we're in a campaign. And we're signing up people to go out in the community and extend an invitation to church and to share their faith. And I want to encourage everyone here this morning to prayerfully consider being involved in our spring effort of making Christ known in our community. And you say, Brother Rule, it's just not physically able for me to go out and maybe to knock on a door and invite someone to church. Then you might pray about just getting the yellow pages and just going through the white pages and maybe starting with the last names of letter A and just calling them and saying, hi, I'm from Lancaster Baptist. Just want to call and give an invite. We've got an exciting service coming up on Sunday. Whatever means you have to find, but just saying, in 2015, I want to strengthen my hands for the work of sharing about Jesus Christ in our community. But we want to share our faith. We want to be involved in the outreach program here. Then I think about our offering coming up on March 1st. We want to encourage one another to give. This is not the kind of offering that's going to be accomplished with one or two or a few. It's going to take everybody in the room. Everybody in the room yielded to the Spirit of God and placing in the plate on March 1st exactly what God wants them to do in faith. That's how it's going to happen. That's how we're going to dedicate the building and pay it off. But we've got to encourage one another in this way. Encourage one another to be a part of that vision on February 8th. In the fellowships and the offering and just seeking God's provision and purposing in our heart that we would give not grudgingly or of necessity, but cheerfully unto the Lord. I like the fact that this group did not remind Nehemiah that they had already tried this project and been turned down. We read of this in Ezra chapter 4 and verse 21 in your notes where the Bible says, "Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease and that this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me." When Nehemiah began to cast the vision and the need, these people did not say, hey, Nehemiah, we tried this once and it didn't work. We already tried this and we were told no. We started this project and it failed. That wasn't their spirit. Their spirit was, we will build. We will strengthen our hands for this work. And I don't know what you have tried and not tried to do in the past and what hesitations that may give you here in 2015, but I just want to encourage you this morning. Let's rise up and build. Let's strengthen our hands for this good work. And let's not let any past failure prevent us from extending faith in God in this new year to accomplish something with and for Him. Nehemiah tells these people what needs to be done. And they respond. And it was essential and it was encouraging. But notice, let her see, it was energetic. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. This phrase literally means that they were energetic in doing the work on the wall. It means they loved it. They were passionate about it. They were committed to making a difference in their work. Passion makes a big difference. Have you ever ate a meal prepared by someone who did not love to cook? They told you it was edible, but you looked at it and wondered. Conversely, have you ever ate a meal prepared by someone who just absolutely loved to cook? You didn't even have to look at it. The smell told you it was going to be good. It was going to be worth going into. Have you ever been served by somebody who did not love to serve? They were doing it. It was their job. But you were just part of their work routine? Conversely, have you ever been served by somebody who just loved to serve? And it was greater than a job or a badge or a title or a place. It was what they loved to do. Passion makes a difference. We read that these people strengthened their hands for the work. They were energetic. They were passionate about what God had called them to do. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." God challenges you and I. We are to be constrained by the love of Christ because Jesus Christ loved me and went to Calvary and died for me. Oh, may I be constrained by that love. And my love for Jesus, may it drive me to be involved in loving Him and walking with Him and telling others about Him and giving to Him through my local church and building in 2015. These people were passionate about what God wanted them to do. Philip Brooks said, "Duty makes us do things well, but love makes us do them beautifully." But we should do it with love. Whatsoever the hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And this helps us understand as we read in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse number 15, they finished this project in 52 days. You look at the work that had to be done and you step back and you say, how in the world did they get this done in 52 days? They were passionate. And may it be said at Vision Night 2016, looking back on 2015 and what God did through the members of Lancaster Baptist Church, how in the world did they get that done? I'll tell you how. They loved Jesus all year. There was a passion burning in their heart to get something done for God. That was the only way to explain what happened here. Nehemiah gave them the reasons. They responded perfectly. But I want you to notice in closing their resolve against the critics. You know, when you and I set out to do something for the Lord, even if God is in it and God's hand of favor is upon it and it's going wonderfully, there's still going to be opposition to the work. The devil does not cease just because God's work is prospering. Satan never gives up. Satan's working overtime all the time. And Satan was here working. Satan was bringing about opposition to what God was trying to accomplish through His people here. And I want to state, first of all, this morning, the commonness of opposition. Opposition is for everyone who's going to do something for God. If you're here this morning and you're facing opposition, you're in the right place. Because everybody who lives godly shall suffer persecution. If you're here this morning and you're saying, Brother Rule, I know the Bible says that God will never give me more than I can handle, but I got to be honest with you, I think I'm right there at the tipping point. You're in good company. You're in the right place. Because opposition is going to come to those who are trying to do something great for God. And as they set out to build the wall, and as they strengthened their hands for the work, opposition came and began to be critical of what they were doing. And as you and I set out to do something for God, no doubt we're going to face opposition. And I just want you to know from the very onset, be ready for it. Expect it. It's going to happen. God's going to allow it because God wants to show you His might and His ability through it. Look at verse number 19 in our text. The Bible says, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? And we see here the character of opposition. These three men that we read about here, Geshem and Tobiah and Sanballat, they were unhappy with the progress that the people were making as they began to see the walls built and the foundation and the walls began to make their way up. And they began to devise a plan to bring discouragement to this people. And we see that they began with laughing them to scorn. They began to mock them. They began to ridicule them. Ridicule, somebody said, is the weapon of those who have no other. There's nothing else they can do, so they just mock and laugh and ridicule. Hey, you're really going to try to go to church every service? You're really going to try to read your Bible? You're going to pray to God? You're going to tell people that they're really going to spend eternity someplace? You're really going to put money in the offering plate at church? You're really going to take this stuff seriously? They began to be laughed at. They began to be scorned. They began to be ridiculed. Jesus was ridiculed. Isaiah 53:3, He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as we hid, as it were, our faces from Him, He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Jesus Christ was ridiculed, and it seems that we live in a day that Satan is ever characterizing the things of the Lord as a way that is ridiculous to live. Purity is mocked today. The Christian home, as God designed it, is mocked today. Creation is mocked today. The church is mocked today. Basically, anything that God authored or anything that God designed, Satan in our culture is cultivating a laughing to scorn mentality against the things of God. And I just want to encourage us this morning, listen, if we're going to set out to do something great for God, we're going to face some opposition, and there's going to be some scorn, and there's going to be some ridicule, and it's going to be a critical, but it's okay. Because we're on God's side. And that's what I love about Nehemiah. As they begin to be scorned and as they begin to be ridiculed and as they begin to be despised in this way, Nehemiah is assuring the people, we're not going to undo and doubt what God established in faith. We're not going to go and run. We're not going to cower to those who call good evil and evil good. And even Sanballat, who said, what are you going to do, rebel against the king? Hey, Sanballat, you're a governor. You got the letter. You knew what they were doing was fine. They even begin to slant the truth to despise them. But Nehemiah makes sure they do not falter under such criticism. Can I pause here and challenge you and I with something? Critics are not going to be fair, but we're not going to answer to our critics. Look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to who? God. To that critic? No. To that family member? No. To that neighbor? No. To that boss? No. Who are we going to give an account to? God. And may the fear of man not cause us to not have faith in God in 2015. Boy, they set out to do something great for God, and what came? Criticism. What came? Opposition. What came? Despising, ridiculing, trying to tear them down. But their resolve against the critics. They understood, we're not doing this for them. And we're not going to stop doing it because they don't like it. We're doing it for God. And God's going to help us. And I see that in the countering to the criticism. Look at verse number 20. Then answered I them. Here's Nehemiah, and I love it. And said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion, no right, no memorial in Jerusalem. This criticism was coming. This opposition was coming. And they were even threatening to tell the king as if somehow that was going to bring some leaven to their nature. And Nehemiah begins to counter this opposition and criticism. And I notice that he doesn't debate with them. He could have, but he doesn't give any credence to their argument. Rather, and he doesn't defer back to the decree of the king. Hey, we can do this because the king said. He goes right to his faith in God. I know we're going to get this done because God's hand is upon us. We're going to rise up and we're going to build, and God's going to bless it. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And while we think of building in 2015, our own personal life and our family and our church family, and while we think about the opposition, may we never forget that the task ahead of us is never greater than the power behind us. And God is with us. And with him, we can accomplish something in the new year. And I love Nehemiah's spirit. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. Boy, he was committed. Kind of sounds like, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's been said, it's always too early to quit. And church family, as we have been given a wonderful thing and vision for 2015, may we this morning recognize we need to build in our own life. There's need. Let's strengthen our hands for this work and with passion encourage one another to do something great for God. And as we face opposition, and no doubt we will, may we never forget, I'm not going to answer to a single critic, but I will someday stand before my Heavenly Father. And all I want to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And this year, I just want to be found faithful. At the end of the year, I want to be found building. At the end of the year, I want to be found in faith following my Savior. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. And we thank you so much for the privilege to gather together today and to open your word. And Lord, I pray that you would accomplish your work in this room this morning. Lord, I pray that as we have heard your word this morning, that we would take a moment and assess our own lives and follow in obedience to the leading of your Spirit, with every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking about. How many would say, Brother Rule, one thing I know this morning is Jesus Christ is my Savior. I have no doubt that I will spend an eternity in heaven, and I'm so thankful for that. And I do look forward to building with him in this new year, and I rejoice with the fact that I know him. Could I rejoice with you this morning? Would you just raise your hand, Brother Rule? I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I'm thankful for that. And thank you for raising your hands. You may lower them. Might there be one or two here this morning that say, you know, to be honest with you, if I were to die today, if I were to face eternity, I do not know where I would go. I'd like to have the victories like we've learned about this morning, but I need to know Jesus. I need to know where I might spend an eternity. Pray for me. that I might make this decision and know according to the Bible for sure that I'm going to go to heaven. I'd love to pray for you this morning, and I'd love for you to know Jesus. I'll not embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you. Would you say, Brother Will, pray for me? I do not know where I would spend an eternity, and I'd like to know. Pray for me. Would you just raise your hand wherever you might be? Pray for me that I might know where I might spend eternity. God bless you. Is there another? Pray for me. I do not know where I might spend an eternity, and I sure would like to know. Pray for me right here. Thank you. I do not know how God spoke to you specifically this morning, but my prayer is that God would find us individually saying, Lord, what need is in my life? How can I strengthen my hands for this work? Help me not to succumb to the fear of man, but rather may my faith in you be greater, and may I be faithful to you in this new year.